Thanks for tuning in to What It Is. I'm Joe Kendrick. Happy to be joined by Kim Rule, coming down from Asheville and No Depression Magazine. John Schacht, also coming to the panel for the second time, trekking over from Charlotte. Today, we are looking back 10 years to the O Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack and its upcoming reissue.
O Brother was kind of a turning point, at least for Americana music and roots music. It was maybe not the first moment where people started to pay attention to string band music, but it was certainly a point where mainstream audiences really started to pay attention to songs that were based on just a guitar, a banjo, and a fiddle. And the result of that, you know, we got super introduced to Gillian Welch. Alison Krauss started to be a big player. People outside of a certain niche started to pay attention to what T-Bone Burnett put his hands on. And all of that has influence certainly where Americana and roots music and folk music has gone since then.
It's interesting that it was sort of right, it came out right at the tail end of, you know, the alt country, truly one of the worst phrases ever, but right at the end of the alt country movement, which had been much more birds oriented and electric, obviously, comparatively. You know, you had Wilco, you know, one of those sort of premier bands from that era, basically turning its nose up at their past and saying, "Hey, we're going to do a post-rock record, you know, with a bunch of Chicago guys." And this record came, and O Brother came out, you know, and together with the film, I was working in a record store at the time in a very sort of upper, crusty, nouveau riche area. And that thing just, you know, ran out of the store, you know, at $17.99 or $18.99, whatever it was.
It was amazing how many people just glommed onto this thing, and it's just like it's saturated in so many quarters, in and outside of acoustic and Americana kind of fandom.
Mm-hmm. It took something that I think people were always allowed to believe was, you know, bucktooth, dirty hillbilly music, and put it in the mouth of sexy George Clooney. And all of a sudden, when you stripped away all the prejudice of dumb, ugly hill people from the music, it allowed people to sort of hear the authenticity, you know.
You could relate it to the kind of late career revival for Charlie Louvin from the Louvin Brothers, I think. You know, he ended up recording with some of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the rock people that kind of went over and had always had been closet Charlie Louvin fans, or Louvin Brothers fans, I should say. But yeah, I think it did sort of renew interest in that previous era. And
I think the film also highlighted the outlaw element of a lot of that music. You know, the old string band tunes are either gospel tunes or they're songs about getting away with something that you probably shouldn't have done in the first place. And I think that's something that especially young people could relate to, you know, that rebellious streak that the story of the movie highlighted, and the music was sort of, you know, just kind of helped with that narrative by being rebellious without being noisy.
You know, I think the thing about it, at least at the store I worked, was these were people that, as you mentioned, probably would never have had an interest in country music because they had that sort of horrible cliche, you know, deliverance, you know, idea in their mind. You know, and whereas, like, you know, music geeks or whatever had been, you know, listening to, you know, the Harry Smith anthology or whatever for 5 or 6 years already, I guess by then. I can't remember exactly when it was reissued. But, you know, this sort of opened that door for people that probably never, you know, would have listened, been caught dead listening, you know, to the Carter Family or whatever, just because they simply didn't know it existed and had this terrible, of course, you know, what Nashville was doing at the time, ongoing tragedy. Chris Gaines, anyone?
Yeah, and it took, you know, it was sort of a time musically where people were trying to rebel from whatever resurgence of punk rock was happening, you know, so kids that were more punk rock than punk rock were like, you know, I can get a banjo and that's really offensive. And I can pick out these old, you know, Stanley Brothers tunes or Carter Family tunes that use the same two or three chords that, you know, the Sex Pistols use, but it's even more offensive than that loud screamy stuff, you know?
Yeah, the bands like Green Day and Offspring had sort of watered down, you know, and made a mockery of.
Yeah, it's a lot of that same motive or that coming from that same place of looking backwards, like you're saying, of looking backwards to punk music. It was kind of inevitable that we would look back even farther to music of that era, of old country, old bluegrass, that sort of kind of music. And it's something that really has gone on and continues to go on. It's just really blew this up such that I remember somebody calling in to the radio station at one point and complaining about being in Boone and not being able to escape this soundtrack at all. It was more than just the soundtrack itself, but everything started to sound like, "Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?"
It does kind of coincide, too, with, regionally, with the rise of the Ava Brothers. You know, I mean, they'd been around, but they went at that time from, I can't remember the name of their sort of pseudo-metal band that they had for a while, but then they went to their kind of current sound right around the same time. And I don't know if it was inspired. I have no idea whether it was inspired by that or not. I kind of doubt it. But it has, you know, what has made them popular is that sort of element of punk that people get to see, you know, stomping on stage and crazy way they are on stage, and then sort of this old-timey music foundation, you know, that they've, you know, made into a different kind of hybrid or whatever. But, you know, there has been a real sort of sea change, I think.
Now, we've got the reissue coming with a lot of tracks that weren't on the original. So a lot of the songs that might have been in the movie, but they didn't make it into the soundtrack. Is that right, Kim?
Yeah, there's 17 new tracks. I guess two of them made it in the movie, but the other 15 have been completely unheard. And, you know, this includes songs by John Hartford, the Cox Family, Norman Blake, Van Dyke Parks, Duke Ellington, T-Bone Burnett. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't heard the reissue yet, but it'll be interesting to hear these songs and reconsider the context of the time and how far we've come in roots music since O Brother dropped.
Wait a minute. Duke Ellington?
Duke Ellington's on there.
Black and Tan on banjo? Is that
awesome? Mood Indigo by
Mood
Duke
Indigo
Ellington.
Mood Indigo on banjo. I can't wait.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Email us what it is at wncw.org. We're talking about O Brother, Where Art Thou? Turning 10 years old and its upcoming reissue. We'll highlight your comments on our Friday edition of the show. For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Kim Rule and John Schacht. Until next time.